Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Guys, I took some certified Piedmontese steaks over to a friend on Saturday. He had never had them before, and he texted me on Sunday. They had already made them and eaten them and said the whole family absolutely loved their steaks from certified Piedmontese. No surprise here, but my question to you common fans is, if you're not getting 25% off beef purchased at cpbeef.com, what are you even doing? Use promo code common fan, all one word, common fan, and get yourself 25% off certified Piedmontese beef purchased at cpbeef.com. Stop by your local Mercado butcher shop in Lincoln or Omaha. That's another way to get all that certified Piedmontese has to offer, or get 25% off at cpbeef.com using promo code COMMONFAN. You can get those products shipped right to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan Podcast. Also, make sure to check out our brand new website, www.commonfan.co. We went to TS Web Services to build the site for us. Whether you need web development or hosting, they've got you covered. You can trust TS Web Services to take your online presence to the next level. Their team was very responsive and delivered high-quality work. TS Web Services can help improve, redesign, or host your website. You can learn all about them at tswebservices.com. Really quick, guys, we're recording this on Tuesday evening, September 10th. It will be out Wednesday morning, September 11th. And just wanted to, take a quick moment and have an acknowledgement and a remembrance of this day is always always a heavy one, I think, for Americans, and has been for the last 23 years. And, that day changed so much in the world and so much about our lives. And, obviously so many people lost their lives that day, but so many others have been impacted in the following years, in so many different ways. And so, just wanted to have, to give a little, shout out and just thanks to all the troops who have served, all the, police officers, firefighters, everybody who's put their lives on the line. And just have a little remembrance on 9/11. I went back, earlier today on YouTube. You can find it on YouTube or a simple Google search, but that Nebraska tunnel walk on the first game after, just to bring it back to Nebraska football, like we do, that first game after 9/11, where they do the whole animated part first, and then they open the doors, and there's troops and firefighters and police officers carrying flags, and it is like goosebumps every single time you watch it. I'm sure it'll be all over social media today, or I went to on 9/11 when we put it out. Wanted to just make that note as we dive in. Obviously, much more important things always going on in the world, and just thankful for all those who have served. Friend of the program, Evan Bland from the Omaha World Herald, is back with us for another edition of View from the Bland Stands. Evan, how are you?
Doing all right, TJ. And I always, when I think of 9/11 as it relates to Nebraska football, certainly that tunnel walk. I mean, first of all, there was debate, if you recall, about that game even being played.
That's right.
As close to the attacks as it was, I think people would say it was sort of a healing moment. You guys are a little older than me. I was in high school at the time. And so, just the chance to engage in a Husker game to kind of get your mind off of what was going on in the world for a few hours, I think was a really powerful thing. And when I think if you talk about like the biggest goosebump moments for Nebraska football, especially if it maybe relates to non-football plays, I would put that right up there with the Jack Hoffman run in the spring game, a decade later. I think those to me are the two moments that you really, I mean, even just talking about it, you kind of get chills thinking about how something that simple can really unite a fan base. So it's pretty cool to remember that even all these years later.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Absolutely. And appreciate you bringing that up. And just it's just a good reminder of like these things that we love. There are things that are more important, but it's also, things like Nebraska football can be about a lot more than just a game, and they can bring us together. And we've talked about the family connections and the sort of societal connections and all those things. So anyway, just great call out there, Evan. Well, speaking of Nebraska football, let's get right to it. Were you surprised at the manner in which Nebraska manhandled Colorado in pretty much every aspect of the game?
Well, I didn't see 28-0 being the halftime score. I think I was probably in with a lot of people that thought it would be in the 35 to 28 sort of range, that Colorado was going to get its share of points, but that Nebraska could hang and maybe they'd get a defensive play. And it kind of turned out that way, except the Blackshirts said, yeah, we're not having any of this. And really, the only touchdown they gave up was set up by the blocked punt, and it wasn't, like they just got rolled over on their way to the end zone. So yeah, I mean, I think objectively, and we talked about it a week ago, like Nebraska had the advantage in the trenches. They had the older, more established players there, and you felt like that was a path to victory. But I mean, man, that first half, what do you guys even compare that to when you talk about being up 28-0? The defense is rolling against future NFL talent. The offense is moving the ball on the ground. Special teams has a role. Anything in recent memory come to mind with that performance?
Certainly not recent memory. I mean,
No.
I had to really rack my brain and still couldn't come up with a more fun, better half of football for Nebraska football in the last 20 some years. I don't know. I mean, that level of domination, I don't feel like we've really seen since the 90s. Like to thoroughly dominate every facet of the game for a whole half and be up 28-0 at halftime. Like, I don't remember when we had a half like that.
No,
And go ahead,
I
Jesse.
was going to say too, just as you mentioned on a previous pod, just the atmosphere at Memorial Stadium. But I will say, just in terms of atmosphere at my own house, I don't feel like I've cheered that hard during a Husker game, just within my own home, in front of my old children, in my own children, in front of my own children, that loud, I think, ever. So that was kind of a shocker for them, because usually it's the either, oh, damn it, we lost, or if we did win, it was a close one and we got by. But this game just meant something more. I had a lot more energy, a lot more enthusiasm, and was way more jacked. I almost lost my voice just at home.
I
So
think that was it, the combination of like just the sheer desperation that we just really needed this win to prove to the world that, the Huskers were, taking the next step and moving forward as a program because of the hatred of Colorado. Like, for all the reasons, there's like a desperation to want to win this game, and then to see them come out and play so well, and then also get all the, and we got some breaks too. It just like everything went Nebraska's way. The
yeah.
one thing to the one thing, the two that I thought about actually, not perfect comparisons either way. One of them was 2022 Iowa, because we like I didn't see that. I didn't see us winning that game. I certainly didn't see us, and it was similar to where I think, we didn't we run out to a fairly big lead in the first half, and they dropped a punt, and like they did all sorts of things that Iowa doesn't normally do, and then we were still like white knuckling it at the end and almost lost it, right? So that one was close. And then the other one I thought of, for whatever reason, Oregon in 2016, at least for me, and maybe it's because I'm married to a duck, but that for me was the last time I could remember feeling that we like there's no other option. We have to win this game. Like, we desperately need to win this game, probably because it was year two of Mike Riley and year one had been so rough, and it was like
Yep.
we need to show that the Huskers are back. They're on the right track. They're moving forward, whatever, whatever. But I don't think anything could match this in terms of, I was just thinking today, again, how we, like, I haven't been this confident that the program's headed in the right direction since, I honestly believe it's the 2010, I think I said in the last pod, 09, and I was off on that, the 2010 Thursday night game against Kansas State, which was the Taylor Martinez coming out party. That's the last time I thought, like, we're back. Nebraska football's back.
That was a very macho performance, similar to the first half on Saturday night. It's just macho football all around.
Well, how about like I was on the field then post game when the students and other fans stormed, and it was almost like this stubborn insistence on like, you know what? We're doing this. We beat like even after a second half that was, fairly calm and nondescript in a lot of ways, but it still wasn't close. And then the fans are just like, we're doing this. And they had some guards around the goal posts,
And we talked
keeping
about
away from that.
that.
But I don't know. It gave me sort of a vibe that the men's basketball team had last year, where like there was real joy and there was people were happy. To me, the barometer of like how excited the crowd is or how intense a game is I look up into the student section in the southeast corner, and like that top third, if it's full, they've got something going on. A lot of times, it kind of it maybe it never fills up entirely or it thins out in the second half. This thing, you couldn't find an open spot all the way to the end. And to hear Colorado players talk about the atmosphere afterwards and some of the Huskers that have been around for 5, 6 years. I mean, it was a cathartic moment. And yeah, Colorado may end up going 4-8, and who knows? But like, you can't take away that little slice of joy. And in that one moment, man, it made a lot of people happy.
Yeah.
I
Oh,
have a
100%.
follow-up question on that regards to storming the field. So we watched the game at home. We had some friends over, and there was somebody in our presence. I won't name names. I won't add them on here because they are a listener and a watcher, but they
Friend
weren't
of the
really a
program.
friend
Friend
of
of the
the
program.
program. They weren't pleased with the storming of the field because they said that we're better than that. And we're not supposed to do that. I'm curious on your guys' opinions on
I have
that.
a
Are we
take on
not?
that.
Is
Is that
that
that was a
we're not?
big That was a big Twitter thing before the
Very,
game, because it was,
yeah, big
the
time.
discussion was, if Nebraska wins, should they storm the field? We haven't been better than that.
That's what I said too.
These so
Since
especially
when?
the students, and I can't remember, somebody had a take something like this, where, imagine if you're a freshman in college in 2020, you didn't even get to go to the games. And then you go through 2021, just gut punch after gut punch. 2022, we fire Scott Frost. 2023, we're rebuilding with Matt Rule. You're a senior, and you finally get have something to be excited about and cheer about. Who the hell are we, as now, kind of old men, to say they
Not
shouldn't
kind
do
of.
that? Nebraska's been there and done that. It's been a long time since we've been there
That's
and
why I
done
say,
that.
since when
Let
we're
them
better
storm the
than
damn field.
that?
Get
Yeah.
off your high
I
horse.
mean,
Let them
if
storm the
you're,
field.
let's say you're a 20-year-old college student, the last time we had a winning season, you were 12.
Yeah.
Right? Like, come on. Right? Like,
It's
they
something to
have
get
a
excited
feeling.
about.
Yeah, exactly. I get the sentiment. I sort of identify with the old man sentiment of get off my lawn. We're better than that. But I was completely overtaken then by the arguments on the other side.
Yeah.
And it makes
Sure.
perfect sense of the and the like, this is supposed to be fun. This is
Yeah.
supposed to be about giving like the next generation, becoming a part of this too. And so I just embrace, like, embrace it. It's
That's a
hey, Nebraska's good again. Nebraska football's fun again.
Yeah.
Call
That's a
everything's
perfect
better.
way of
Everything's better when Nebraska football's fun or when
That's
Nebraska
a
football's good.
perfect way of saying that is that letting the younger generation become a part of it too.
Yeah. And our buddy, our friend of the program, Dave Fight on Twitter, is it Feet or Fight?
I think it's
Anyway,
fight. I think it's fight because his handle is fight can write. So,
he had a really great piece on it last week about all the different times Nebraska stormed the field, and some of them didn't make any sense. Like, there was just like a, it wasn't, there wasn't anything like a conference, it didn't seem like there's anything like a conference championship on the line or anything like that. But it was the common thread was it was against Oklahoma or Colorado typically. And so You throw that in there. I mean, if this was against some other team, maybe we don't. But the fact that it's Colorado and they stormed the field on us last year, I think
Oh,
that
yeah.
kind of added into it a little bit because we're kind of like, come on, you're storming the field on us. Like, do you know what we've been lately? Like, come on.
Yeah,
Who are you kidding me?
true.
So yeah, I'm fine with it.
I was curious about that.
Evan, you know, I have a question for you. When, you know, winning a night game on national TV, something we talked about. We haven't done in a long time, and against a historic rival, nonetheless, doing it in commanding fashion. Even if it ends up that the Buffs aren't a very good team, what does this win mean for the rest of Nebraska's season? How big of a turning point is this for the Nebraska program?
Well, yeah, I mean, some of that remains to be seen. I can tell you it's already netted them the number one recruit out of the state of Nebraska in the 25 class. I mean, Christian Jones, the linebacker from Omaha West Side, I think we talked about it here last week. He was a guy who specifically was waiting for this game to see if the vision that Matt Rhule and Nebraska cast in year one was going to manifest on the field. And, sure enough, it did. And that was the thing that tilted him to the Huskers over Oklahoma. So I think it's going to continue to bear fruit on the recruiting trail, probably some in 25, certainly in 26 and beyond. There's a the quarterback for 26 that they're looking at, Michael Clayton, was blown away by the atmosphere. So there's a ton of momentum in that sense. Obviously, the game was on NBC, first home game on NBC since 1965. Kind of a fun fact there. So I mean, it was a 3-hour infomercial for Nebraska and its progress there as well. And then, it's just I'm a big believer in like early season momentum carrying over and teams being using that to maybe achieve things that they couldn't if they had a slower start. And goodness knows Nebraska's experienced those slow starts for a number of years, but I think you can point to examples every year in college football of a team that starts off 2-0, 3-0, 4-0. Maybe they surprise somebody along the way and they end up having a pretty good season most of the time, probably better than people expected. So I think there was probably some validation there. The thing that I was struck by, and you talk about like the joy that it gives the fans, I was equally struck by how even keeled the Nebraska players were. I mean, yeah, they were excited to win, but like they were not motivated by like this idea of it's a rivalry with Colorado and we're going to win. What they're motivated by, and they're very consistent in this, is it's them against them and like their pursuit of perfection and greatness in their craft. And like that's the thing that motivates them. It's like, doggone it, I'm gonna put up some better film next week, and we're gonna work together and do this thing better. And in this case, it's we need to eliminate penalties and shore up special teams. And it was that. It was not Colorado. They didn't get caught up in the it's personal stuff. And I think that's the mark of a healthy team, of a good team that's continuing to play its best. And like you think throughout the Bo Pelini era and so many games where Nebraska had these letdown moments, and not to say that that can't happen, but I just think the Colorado win was a real example of the power of culture and how grounded they were, even with all the hoopla going on around them.
Yeah, I
Quick
couldn't agree
quick
more.
note, speaking of Christian Jones, friend of the program, Jim in Minnesota shared this, that Jones had this quote. Talking about Nebraska, they played lights out the whole night and made that other team tap out. So I love that I mean,
Literally.
we talked about that. I think a lot of people like felt like Colorado gave up by the end, but love that that was like the perspective of the recruits on the sideline as well.
Yeah. Incidentally, if you listen to Dion's press conference today, he details like five guys that were hurt to varying degrees and may miss time next week. Like, that's the other thing is like the teams that Nebraska plays, Matt Rhule's often said he wants them to feel Nebraska a week or two later. Shiloh Sanders is going to be out 2 to 3 weeks. Shedeur Sanders, as we saw, left the game earlier for precautionary reasons. Like, that's how about that? Like, when was the last time Nebraska, laid the wood on somebody to that degree?
Oh, 100%.
God, I love it.
It
Yeah, that
feels
was
great.
wild.
It's
It
so
does.
good.
It feels awesome. That Shiloh broke his arm. He's back in like 2 weeks. I thought that dude
Well,
was.
he'll probably have a
Dion
club
said
on
two to
his
three
arm or
weeks. He
something.
said his son's a
Yeah.
fast healer. Maybe that's optimistic.
Wow.
But that, I mean that could affect them against in a rivalry game this coming weekend. They got Colorado State.
Yeah.
You're pretty banged
Yeah, they
up, and
do.
then you got to go play a rival. I mean, you can't tell me Colorado State isn't just absolutely frothing at the mouth to take those guys on after, the beatdown that we laid on them.
And didn't it go to overtime last year against Colorado State? Or it went to the wire,
It was
whatever it
close.
was.
It was
Close.
close.
Well, I certainly I didn't I know TJ said he was nervous about this game. I once I shaved the beard and brought the mustache back, there was no doubt we were winning this game. So again, you're welcome, Common fans.
Thank you,
But
Jeff.
Jeff,
Yeah.
as we said on Twitter today, now you can't shave it the whole season.
I know
You're
my
gonna take credit for this.
My wife's
You've
kind
got
of
to
pissed.
keep the stash till January.
I think Ashley's kind of pissed about that, to be quite honest with you. It worked, and so now I have to keep it. So,
We love you,
the
Ashley.
sacrifices we make.
It's a short season in the grand scheme of things, Ashley.
Yeah, it really is. She can just kind of put up with it
That's right.
for Husker Nation. Exactly.
Exactly. We all have to make our sacrifices. Love you, honey.
Did you have a point, Jeff, or a question or?
Well, I was just going to say that what we talked to about how important this game was, and Evan, you mentioned it last week, just in terms of recruiting, and we've just talked about that. But now that the win is official and we've done this, does this change your opinion now of how good they can actually be this year? I know a lot of people now, before this game, were like, oh, seven, eight games. After this game, they're like, we're going to be undefeated when we get to Ohio State.
We're
We're
going to the
playoff bound. Like,
playoffs.
it's sky high now. Does it change your opinion on where we can actually go this season record-wise?
I mean, I think I thought they would beat Colorado, and maybe that's more a reflection on Colorado than it is Nebraska. That's possible. But we're going to find out in a couple of weeks. I mean, Illinois, when they come in on Friday, September 20th, they very well could be ranked. I mean, they're right outside the top 25 right now. Purdue, Rutgers, like those are games that have given Nebraska trouble in recent years. And so if you can do to them what you just did to Colorado, then I think, yeah, you're talking about some adjusting. And that was kind of the high-end hypothetical all offseason, right? Was this idea that Nebraska could be undefeated going to Ohio State midseason and what that would look like. And I think that's still possible. But what's interesting to me is like they beat Colorado by 3 scores. It easily could have been, they could have scored 45 points, right? If not for some of the penalties, you make a 32-yard field goal, you finish another drive here or there. Like it easily could have been even more than it was. And so, like, if we had talked a week ago and said, hey, Nebraska is not going to score in the second half, they're going to have the most penalties they've had under Matt Rule, they're going to have a punt blocked, and they're going to win comfortably. Like, do you believe that? I don't think that's, I'm not feeling good in that situation, right? So like, I think they found the best of both worlds where they showed what they can do. They impressed a national audience, but they also came back and said, doggone it, there's a ton that we can still do better. And this, like, they haven't hit their ceiling. They didn't play anything close to a perfect game. We've heard them say that the last 2 days. Like, it bugs the crap out of them that they, screwed up some stuff on special teams and missed things here and there. So like, that to me is the intriguing part, is they made a pretty big jump from game one to game two. What does that look like now with Big Ten play on the horizon here in a couple of weeks?
Love it.
Good call.
Evan, I'm curious, what's the, and I know, not you're all professionals, but just the vibe in the press box, and just kind of both sort of watching like the game in particular on Saturday, but you like what are you and your colleagues discussing about sort of what you see? It's the electric moment on Saturday, but also kind of bigger picture. Are some of the are some people starting to say, hey, we might be covering a pretty good team this year, or what are those conversations different than they've been in recent years, kind of thing?
My favorite moment from Saturday night, I sit a couple seats down from Tom Chattel, our legendary World Herald columnist. And he,
Is a friend of the program, another friend of the program.
he's been on with you guys. He loves coming
Friend of
on
the
with you guys
program.
too. So he, Saturday night, it's I don't know, 14, 21, nothing or whatever. And oftentimes over the years, he's just kind of grumpy with these things because Nebraska's not playing well, and he just kind of gets fed up. But he kind of leans over to Sam McEwen and me, and he's just like, "This is fun. This is fun. Like, this is fun. Like, covering a team that like plays sound football and that have a lot of likable individual characters, and the coaches are insightful, and obviously it's a fan base that continues to show up, and it hasn't been rewarded for that in a number of years. So yeah, I think there's conversations about playing covering games in November that have a different vibe when you're not maybe putting one eye on the men's basketball team or whatever, because there's still pertinent business to take care of on the football side. So yeah, I think there's some optimism there. Again, I think you need to get into Big Ten play for a couple of weeks, win a game on the road, maybe before you really start to wonder what the highest heights could be this year. But
Oh,
there's no
yeah.
doubt. I mean, 2-0, like the last 4 years, when you lose your opener, it kind of feels like the season's over before
Yeah.
Labor Day. And it's no way to live. And it's a reminder that college football can actually be pretty fun, if the results are going a little differently, right?
Thinking of Illinois, because we played Illinois on a Friday night last year, too, and we won in just the most incredibly sloppy way. In Champaign, after Burt Bielema set the place on fire when he was staying up late watching film, eating tombstones, worried about stopping the Heinrich Harburger-led offense. Sorry, we covered all this last year. We dug in on this, Evan. Wouldn't expect you to remember, but it's especially so enjoyable to win on a Friday night. And then enjoy all that college football has to have. Enjoy an entire college football weekend with that win under your belt. And like with that experience under the belt. Sorry, so just a side note on that, but you're so right that we've talked about this so many times. Like college football is such is in this divided world, so many things going on. College football is such a joy and so it's such a fun time of year, but it's so much better when the team that you care about is good.
Yes, waking up
Yes.
Sunday morning with or without a hangover, it still feels great. Doesn't matter. It's a different feeling on a Sunday. I love it.
It's a
I
funny
think
thing
I'm
about victories, like they make the hangovers even better. Like you don't even really have one the next morning.
I think I took. Go ahead, Evan. Go ahead.
Where do you guys come down? So this week's game, Northern Iowa, 6:30 kick. Like, do you guys like that? Because obviously, big games at night makes a lot of sense. Where do you guys
Yep.
come down on Nebraska playing an FCS foe at night as opposed to midday or 11 a.m.? Does that matter to you guys?
I'd rather see it earlier in the day.
I agree with Matt.
Especially, I mean, when you're, yeah, 100%. If it's a big game like Colorado or Illinois, to me, is a big game. Having those at night on national TV, that feels fun and exciting. But when you play somebody like a Northern Iowa, no disrespect to Northern Iowa, I'd rather have them play at like 11 or 2:30.
Certain time slots have
Because
certain feel.
I'm locked in on the Husker game, but there's so many other games that you miss, as when you're either watching the Huskers on TV, or you miss other games when you go to the Husker game. So I'm not a fan of it personally. I'd rather play them earlier in the day.
That's go ahead, Jeff.
I think time slots have a just every kind of like a day of the week has a feel. Friday has a feel, Saturday has a feel, Sunday has a feel. Time slots for games just have a feel. And like a game like Northern Iowa, that just has an 11 a.m. feel to me for some reason. I don't know why. Not a 6:30 under the lights type of feel. Plus, on those types of games, to Owens's point, I don't want to wait all day. I kind of want to get that one done and just not that it's a guaranteed win, but I want to quote, for lack of a better term, just check it off the list. Move on.
I'm going to take a slightly different angle here, boys. First of all,
Okay.
I'm a big believer. I never like 11 a.m. kicks. I hate 11 a.m. kicks. I think it was it Chip Kelly who said every college football game should be played at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or something like that. So I'd be totally fine with noon, 1, 2:30, whatever. But I hear what you guys are saying, but I think that there's like it's never you can never have enough night game or you can never have too many. Night games. Night games are always fun. It's not going to be the same electricity as the
Sure.
Colorado game, but it's always fun. to, even if you're not going to the game, you can plan like to plan your evening. Maybe you have Jeff, you guys had friends over for the Colorado game. I guess Matt, my invite was lost in the mail or something, but you have
Well,
friends
hold
over.
on. Matt decided to take his son to the game instead of me. Okay.
took my
Took his
firstborn.
son to
The
the game. That's
nerve,
just
the nerve. But you can, like, when it's a night game, you can kind of get all your stuff done during the day and do whatever you need to do during the day. And then maybe you get a pizza with the kids, or you have friends over, you make burgers or you have drinks or whatever, or you go to the game. It's never bad to go to a night game. So I'm kind of like, I'm not saying I want every game to be at night, and I'd certainly be fine if it was like a 2:30 kick or something. But I'll never complain about a night game, I guess is the way I would say that.
An interesting,
Right.
interesting
I
tidbit.
know. I know. Coach Rule wants the kegs and eggs, 9 a.m. kickoffs every week.
Oh yeah,
He does.
I love
Yes.
that comment. And
I'm
like, like
with
that
him on
Barstool Sports tweeted that.
that.
Like everybody's like the Barstool Sports and the Bustin' with the Boys. Like they're just eating that stuff up. They're like Matt
Yeah.
Rule, total football guy, and I love that.
You might be right too, TJ.
Interesting tidbit. And I know we're probably going to get into Northern Iowa a little bit later, but I just had this on the brain right now. We're sitting this week out, me and Maddie Jr. And I just thought, you know what? Been to two home games already. We've got four. We're sitting this one out. We'll be at Illinois next week. I'm going to list my tickets. So I used the recommended price that SeatGeek had, $115. And I thought,
Per ticket?
per ticket. So
Holy
I
smokes.
thought, oh, well, okay. Well, leave it set there for a couple of days. If it doesn't sell, I'll lower it. They sold in 24 hours at
Wow.
$115 each. So then I was curious. I went to look on SeatGeek at what the ticket prices are. The cheapest ticket as of last night at like 11 p.m. was $134, and it was in like the 85th row.
Wow. So you could have
Every
gotten more.
ticket is, yeah, that's why I'm like, well, you
Wow.
know what? But then I was thinking 2, 3 years ago, I couldn't have given those tickets away.
No, that's
And
exactly
now
right.
we're
True.
playing, now we're Northern Iowa, a Northern Iowa, Nebraska ticket going for $115 a pop or more. It's that's just crazy. That's what happens. Your team starts getting
Yeah.
good. You've got a five-star blue chip quarterback who's probably going to be playing in the NFL someday, and now everybody wants to go. I just thought that was
That's
crazy.
really interesting, Matt.
Yeah.
Congrats on jamming some loyal Husker fans with high ticket prices, Matt. Good for you.
Hey, you know what? If they want to pay that for my seats, Jeff, God knows I've paid enough for them. Okay. You got to pay the donation just to have the
Got the
right to purchase the damn
donation.
things.
Exactly.
So I'll take my 115 each and run straight to
Gotcha.
the
All
bank,
right.
Jeff.
Incidentally, Nebraska is going to be celebrating its 400th sellout next week for the Illinois game.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a full circle moment because in 1962, Bob Devaney's first team started winning. And that's where the sellout streak came from. And it sort of became a burden, right? In the struggle years, it
Wow.
became kind of artificial in a lot of ways. And it feels awfully natural again this year. There's kind of a, I don't know, kind of a circle of life sort of moment here where it's the popularity's picking up. People love the winners, especially in Nebraska. And
Yep.
what a cool moment that is. It's
Yeah.
awesome. Absolutely.
Well, Evan, kind of going back to, and talking about I guess kind of Saturday night, but just this team's performance. You had that article about Nebraska's defense getting in the backfield, getting to the quarterback without blitzing and just primarily rushing four. It's something the Huskers haven't done well for a long time, something we've as fans have been frustrated about. And it's huge for this defense to be even better than last year, for them to be able to do that. Per your article, Evan, Colorado was pressured on 22 dropbacks. 19 of those came on 3 and 4 man rushes. Do you think, Evan, they can get away with that in Big Ten play, or do you think they're going to be blitzing a little bit more?
Well, they don't have to blitz as much. That's the whole, I mean, that's the thing that is just remarkable about the situation is, in recent years, Nebraska could not generate a pass rush with a 3 or 4 man look. And so you had to get creative and you had to blitz a linebacker or bring a corner or whatever. And sometimes it worked and sometimes you got burned. And in this case, well, it was one of the things I found the most interesting Saturday night was the guys that came out and talked, and there were a whole bunch of them, especially on the defensive side. That was what the thing they were most proud of was they didn't have to blitz. I mean, Ty Robinson and Nash Huntmaker were pushing through and getting there. Jamari Butler was doing his thing. Prince Wilhelm-Ian Mielen, like these guys were getting to Shedeur Sanders, MJ Sherman. And that's allowing the linebackers and the secondary to sit back and play coverage and do its thing. And it's just, it makes such a huge difference. I don't know that it'll be quite to the level that we just saw against Colorado once you get into the Big Ten, for the most part, because a lot of those teams are more ground-based. It could factor in certainly with USC, potentially Ohio State. But I don't think you can overstate how important that is to have those guys doing that. And you probably see it even more clearly on the broadcast where, the balls snap and like the guys in the white jerseys are pushing in, and you just don't have a clean pocket. So I think that's one of the most obvious reasons for optimism with this defense is if you can generate a pass rush with four, that opens the door to stopping the passing game. That opens the door to more takeaways. I mean, all this stuff. So if they can do that against Colorado, and again, their offensive line was sort of discombobulated and the crowd probably had played a factor and a lot of these guys were transfers, but nonetheless, like if you can continue that, what a sign that is for what they could do in the Big Ten.
Absolutely. And I think another thing that plays a factor in Nebraska's defense's ability to do that is just the fact that we substitute so much. Like you get into a third and long and all of a sudden, okay, here comes James Williams in just to rush the passer or Prince Will. And you're bringing in a guy with completely fresh legs that can't wait to get out there and just get after the quarterback. So it's just, I love the substitutions. I love the different little packages that they have. You see guys running on in and out off the field, so I thought about that too. It's like they've got guys with really fresh legs coming in there just to get after Sanders.
Well, and that's gonna pay off in November when we're fighting for that playoff spot, when all these guys are
Damn
still,
right.
well, these
That's
guys
right,
are fresh,
TJ.
still fresh and healthy. So just file that away. File that away.
Yeah, you could name seven, eight, nine guys, and Nebraska feels good with all of them out there at any given time.
Yeah,
That's
no.
remarkable. It's been 10 years since Nebraska could say something like that.
Yeah,
Wow.
absolutely.
That's wild. You know what I just noticed? I think this is the first. Have we even mentioned Rayola's name yet? I don't even think we've
Well,
talked about
I don't
it.
know if we have.
Usually
No.
every
Well,
episode we've been
I mean,
praising this
we've
dude.
kind of
We've re
alluded to
referred to
him.
him. Yeah.
I didn't
Yeah.
say his
We haven't really
name,
talked
but
about him though. Like play-wise, like I'm curious to see what you think about this, Evan, because and I think a lot of people out there would agree, certainly the common fans, he looked better than Shadur that night, obviously, but you can say that, and it's probably not totally fair to Shadur just because someone was on his ass all night long.
right.
But in comparison, he did look better. And Rules had some quotes about the guy. Just some of the quotes that he had said, he's at a whole nother level. Those other guys better pick it up. And if a freshman knows all 120 plays in the game plan, then as a junior, I better know all 120 plays. So 2 games in, what do we think now? What's the impression? Is Luke Skywalker, has he exceeded your expectations? Because for me, I said on our recap podcast, I thought that what it proved to me that night was the moment's not too big for him. He can handle the stage, he can handle the spotlight, and he can handle all of the viewers during a primetime game.
Well, first, I think it was most notable today, or I guess it was Monday when Matt Rhule spoke. He was more effusive about Dylan Raiola than he's been at any point since he's been on campus. He's always been very guarded in how much praise he wanted to give out. A lot of that had to do with the quarterback competition. But even the first week or so, it was, he's doing good. He's adjusting to the college game. You got to get him out there. But he was very complimentary of what Dylan Raiola did and a lot of the stuff that you just mentioned. But like, how about this? I mean, through 2 games last year, Nebraska quarterbacks accounted for 6 turnovers in those losses to Minnesota and Colorado. Through 2 games this year, nothing.
Yes.
Big
Yeah. Yes.
big old goose egg.
You say, imagine
So,
that. Yeah.
like again, it's a reminder that they don't need him to be a Heisman Trophy contender this year. They need him to make good decisions and play complimentary football, realize they have a really good defense, that they have skill players to get the ball to. And he's going to make a couple plays here and there. He almost connected with Jalen Lloyd down the sideline, and then he had that throw across his body right now near the goal line that paid off. So you still have a couple of those wow moments. You see these reminders about why he was a five-star prospect, but he's not coming in needing to be what Shedeur Sanders needs to be to Colorado. He can come
Right.
in and play complimentary ball, and that's exactly what Nebraska asked from him, and that's why they're 2-0, quite honestly. I mean, just the difference in performance at that quarterback position from last year to this year makes all the difference.
It does. 100%.
Oh, man. Top 10, top 5 defense, quarterback who can manage the game and is going to be capable of so much more. Just all the pieces are in place. All right, looking ahead to Northern Iowa, Evan, you think amidst all the excitement and all the enthusiasm, let's just remember the Huskers are still in a place where they cannot afford to look past anybody. And I love you talked about process, and it's rules quote. I think you said it more last year, isn't it? Let's go 1-0 today, or let's go 1-0
Oh
this
yeah,
week.
still a big
That's
thing, yeah.
the approach, right? Let's go 1-0 this week. So, we can't forget that number 21 FCS team in the country. If I'm sort of read enough correctly, I haven't read that much, but looks like they'll bring a run first approach into Lincoln. What can you tell us about the Panthers, and should we be concerned about a letdown by the Huskers?
Well, the Panthers are a run-heavy team. They went through a pretty big offseason change. They reset most of their defense, two new coordinators. I think the thing that's been the talk of the last couple of days around Memorial Stadium has been their running game. And so Tony White today and John Bullock, the linebacker, both said this is a good preview for the Big Ten. And so you think UTEP, Colorado, both spread type offenses. They're going to dink and dunk, and they prefer to lean on the passing game. Northern Iowa, not that. They're going to run at you, through you if they can. You look at their running backs, Ty Edwards, 6'4", 230 pounds. They have another one, 225. So like these are big backs who are just going to crash into you. So I think the defense, it's a very different challenge this week than what they had with Shedeur Sanders and this, these fleet-footed receivers that Colorado has. So I think that's, a good warm-up for the Big Ten. And then you kind of flip it around, and it's a defense in Northern Iowa that doesn't give up a lot of big plays. They may not have the best athletes in the world, but they're really sound. And Marcus Satterfield, the OC, said today it's a team that wants you to put together 10, 11, 12 play drives. Because of this idea that not a lot of teams can do that without making a mistake, without a holding call, without a missed read, without a fumble, whatever it might be, it's hard to do that. It's easier to, go 80 plays and or 80 yards in 3 plays. So it's a different challenge for Nebraska. I think it's really an ideal one as they look ahead to Illinois and Purdue and Rutgers and like these teams that are kind of similar, except they're more talented and have more resources. Incidentally, I'm interested in a lot of the sort of off the field connections between these two programs. I'd be curious to know, like, do you guys have a sense of some of the Nebraska Northern Iowa connections in terms of coaches, players, administrators, maybe for this game?
Oh gosh.
I don't for this
No.
game. Wasn't T.O. kind of instrumental in, or was that, am I thinking about something else? In helping them
Iowa
get their
Western.
Iowa Western, that's what I'm thinking of, getting their football program set up. Okay.
Now, what's the Northern Iowa connection?
Well, there's a bunch. I mean, Troy Dannon is a Northern Iowa
Oh
grad.
yeah.
I just found this out
Jeff,
recently.
Troy Dannon's the Nebraska athletic
Who?
director. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, Evan.
But
Go ahead, Evan.
I just found this out today. Northern Iowa's AD, her name's Megan Franklin, formerly Megan Armbruster, is a Lincoln Southeast grad in
Huh.
1994. So
No kidding. Oh, wow.
These ADs both have connections both ways. Do you remember Kamonte Grimes, the receiver?
Oh,
Yeah.
sure.
He's a Panther, so he'll be back in Lincoln this weekend.
Wow.
And here's one more for you. Trev Albert's nephew is UNI's kicker.
Oh, wow.
So you have
Wow.
that.
Yeah,
So
there's
just
several little
okay.
connections there.
And that's
Okay.
to say nothing for, Joe Gans was a coordinator at UNI a year ago.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Scott
Yeah.
Frost got his big
Weird.
break at UNI in the mid 2000s. He was hired there
Weird.
and took off. So,
Wow.
just a lot of stuff. Like you wouldn't expect to have that many connections between Nebraska and an FCS program, but here we are. So,
Hey.
in a week when Nebraska's favored by 30, whatever, like these things take on a little more interest, I think.
Yeah, Cade Warner played here. Kurt Warner played quarterback at Northern Iowa.
Oh, Matty O,
Hey,
nice. Take it easy.
Don't
Take
pull a muscle with that
it
stretch. That was
easy.
good.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, I love that. Well, good stuff. If you have time, Evan, for one more, we'll wrap up here shortly. But I wanted to go back to one thing I meant to ask earlier. When we talked about this on our last show too, but the second half, just think talking about this team trying to get over the hump and trying to become a winning program. The second half was so sloppy, and some of the penalties were not really penalties, but other than were probably legit. Just kind of all these different factors that went into the second half. How concerned should the common fans, the fellow common fans, be about that second half performance? I mean, they still hung on and won decisively, and the defense was elite throughout. So I think that's the first takeaway. But was that a little bit of would we have been pretty uneasy if it was a 3 or 6 point lead instead of an 18-point lead?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I kind of look at it, TJ, like what was sustainable or not sustainable about it. Like the penalties to me seemed, I don't know, I didn't agree with probably half of them. And I would say the same about some that went against Colorado. It just kind of
Sure.
felt like it got out of hand or chippy or whatever. So that was so unusual for Nebraska under Matt Rhule in the last couple of years. I guess I don't see too much about that carrying over. The offense not scoring. I wonder how much of that just was situational. And they talked a
Yeah.
little bit about it post game, where it was like, maybe they backed off a little too much, but they didn't want to give away a possession and let Colorado back into it. The defense continued to do what it did. I
Yeah.
think if there's anything that you wonder about, it's the special teams moving forward. And that's Nebraska still hasn't been in a tight game, a tight finish. But I don't know how you trust. Or how good you feel about anyone going out there and kicking a field goal right now.
Yeah.
It's just
Yeah.
that's the state of it. And there are some
Yeah.
good things they're doing on special teams, but they had a leak on one of the kickoff returns that jump started some stuff for Colorado too. So I think that's probably the one that I would look at and be a little nervous about in these close games when field position is going to matter and every little error is going to be magnified. I just wonder how they're going to be able to shore that up, especially the kicking stuff where you either make it or you miss it. Like, there's not a lot that you can scheme up in that way to change it other than just going for it on fourth down in some of those situations.
Right.
So that's the one I would look at. But I think the other stuff, in some ways, maybe was what we saw sort of a growth moment where this team is learning how to handle a lead, right? Well, most of these guys haven't been in a situation where you're up multiple scores late. What do I do with my hands kind of thing? Like, trying to figure it
Yeah.
out. I think maybe that was a good learning experience for those guys too.
Good stuff. Matt, Jeff, you guys got anything else?
Don't be Notre Dame, Nebraska. Don't be Notre Dame this week. Just take care of business and move on to Illinois. I repeat, do not be Notre Dame.
Yeah, what a
Hey,
bad loss. What a bad loss for the
Nebraska knows
Domers.
what it's like to lose at home to Northern
Northern
Illinois.
Illinois.
Yes, we
That's
do.
exactly
Yes,
right.
we
These
do.
do.
Games can
Yep.
change programs.
Yes.
That was
For the
good
worse. For
old
the worse.
Sean Eichhorst kiss of death there in Northern Illinois.
That's
That's
right.
good.
And
Yeah.
as discussed in the Reckoning
The Reckoning
series,
series,
that was
yes.
also widely thought, correctly, to be the end of the road for Mike Riley, even though he was
Yes.
allowed to play out the rest of the season.
Yep.
So, Evan, any final thoughts from you?
Just I'm just glad people are enjoying stuff. I mean, I enjoy hearing your guys' experiences and cheering at the TV and like enjoying that. I heard a lot of similar things from friends and family that watched on TV, and they're just like, this is fun. I don't have to
Yeah.
be pissed off on a Saturday. I don't have to be
Yep.
sad. Like, I think most of us have young kids that have no memory of Nebraska being good. So it's
Yeah.
something different, right? Like, I just,
Yeah.
even though it's Northern Iowa this week, like, 2, 3 years ago, this game would have no buzz at all. And I think because of the start, there still is some. And so, what a time we live in. And it's cool to see something different going on there on One Memorial Drive.
Yeah,
It
I'm glad you
really
mentioned
is.
that too. My daughter, who's 10 years old, was across the street at a friend's house for a little while during the game, and she came back over to our house and was watching the game, and she's like, "Dad, I was over there and everybody's just kind of sitting around hanging out." And she comes back over to our house. She's like, "It's so loud over here. You guys are so loud over here." It's
Right, and
so
because
the
that
way it
was the
should be,
memories
Jeff.
you guys had, right? Like when
Yeah,
you guys were
exactly.
kids, like people were locked, your parents were locked in. That's how it was.
Yeah,
100%.
it hadn't been this fun for a long time, and it's early, and we've whatever, but it feels so different and so much. But I mentioned this on the last show too. Even in 2016, which when we started 7-0, which was great and lots of fun. And people forget, Evan, that fall was also fun because the Chicago Cubs were winning the World Series. Just side note, I don't know, people forget that.
I
But
do.
we started 7-0, and I remember, I don't want to like sound super negative. I was so sure I was at that Wisconsin game number 8 that went to overtime that we lost. I was so sure we were going to win that one too. So it wasn't like I was down on that team, but there were these kind of lingering, we didn't really play anybody. And
Yeah,
then
we
once
knew when we were going through it that the schedule was not tough, right?
And so and also like we didn't do anything well enough that you could point to say this could be our calling card, this could win us games. Right now Nebraska has a defense that could absolutely win us games. Like even if this offense, we saw it last year, it almost won us several games with an atrocious offense. And so the defense is elite, the offense is way better. And it's just fun. I mean, I think what you talked about too, Evan, the culture and the belief that Matt Rhule has instilled, and like it just feel everything feels different in a better way. And I think it's notable for us. Like, I feel like we're like talking about this ad nauseum almost, but it's notable because it's been so dysfunctional around here for so long, and now it feels like we've got an adult in charge. It feels like he knows what he's doing. We might stub our toe. I don't know. Maybe we'll end the year 7-5 or eight, even 8-4, which would probably be a disappointment to people at this point. But the trajectory is so clearly back in the right direction, and it could not be more fun or enjoyable.
No doubt. Matt Rhule said
Oh
there's
man.
three stages. There's losing football, there's winning football, and then championship football. And right now Nebraska's in that middle stage trying to get to that upper echelon. So we're
Let's
all along for the
go.
ride this season.
We're all along for the ride. Even that middle phase is new, really. I mean, last several years. So, well, thanks again to Evan Bland from the Omaha World Herald. Get your subscription to the World Herald, common fan. Get your subscription to Husker Extra, which gets you access to the World Herald and Journal Star sports sections during, or not, I was going to say during football season, always, I think. Evan, all your stuff, and Sam and Tom and all you guys do such a great job, and that also just sort of helps it, you're narrating the season for us as we go along, and that always makes it so thoroughly enjoyable. So well done. Thanks for all that you do, and thanks for joining the Common Fans for another edition of View from the Bland Stands.
Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. All right,
Thanks,
Common
Evan.
Fans, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Right, kicking
Yes,
off against
correct.
Northern Iowa. Let's go 1-0 this week, kids. As always, GBR for life.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.